to the NAACP Branch 5130 podcast, where we discuss front-facing issues in our community, with our community, and those things that affect our community, with the knowledge that when we fight, we win. I am Esther Matthews, the president of the St. Petersburg Branch 5130, and today we will be talking about perception based on color, how we show up. Today on the show, we're excited to have Mr. Michael Smith. Michael is an urban-based global perspective servant leader, a native of Indianapolis, and also he is a marketing consultant, Chinese teacher, a community engagement director for a youth-facing not-for-profit organization, developing life skills through STEM-influenced curriculum for girls and boys ages 11 to 15. His legacy of leadership and social justice with the NAACP began and begins with his grandfather, Carl Breedings. Mr. Breedings served 31 years as the president of the NAACP for the state of Michigan. Michael also himself was a founding member of the Purdue University NAACP chapter. Michael is a proud, proud father of two adult children. Today, Michael is going to share his experience that took place a few short weeks ago. Michael, welcome to When We Fight, We Win. How are you today?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Ms. Matthews. I'm well. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, Michael reached out to our local branch here kind of to discuss some things that took place when he was in town, some concerns that he had. And I want to just pause a moment to state that some of the things that Michael will discuss with us, please note that our podcast host does not in any way, shape, or form corroborate or endorse or agree with anything that will be discussed today. In addition to that, our local branch, NAACP, is still in the investigative stage in regards to some of the things that we're going to talk about. And so we're not at this day and time taking a stance one way or the other, but we do think that it is vitally important that Michael, again, shares a bit about what took place, because there are so many of us, and when I say us, I'm talking us women, us people of color, us underserved populations that experience these things that we're going to talk about today. So with that being said, I want to go ahead and throw the ball back over to Michael. And Michael, if you can, just kind of give us a short but impactful overview of what took place.
Well, Ms. Matthews, thank you so much for allowing me to have a voice on this conversation, this issue. Michael Smith was so excited to spend the weekend, February 26th to 28th in St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay area, Florida. I mean, who doesn't like Florida? Warm temperatures, water, and the capacity to wear shorts and sandals when you are from the Midwest and East. And I had a tremendous experience overall in St. Petersburg. I would like to share that first of all, but I was very concerned by an incident that happened to me following some wonderful events and a dinner. I actually had gone as a tourist and a visitor to a restaurant, Paciago Gelato Cafe, to purchase some gelato. In the process of purchasing my gelato waffle cone and leaving a $1 tip, I was then accused of stealing a package of tea.
Wow, wow.
When I communicated to the young lady who came from the side and said I was taking tea, that I have no tea, I was told again that I see you taking my tea, you need to return it. Given that I just purchased for $5.84 left a $1 tip, a waffle, gelato waffle, I was quite taken aback. And Levita's son, and that's my mama's name, was taught and raised well to never take what is not yours. I'm not sure if all of you remember going to the grocery store, your mama said, don't touch.
Exactly, exactly.
You go over to somebody's house, your mama say, don't ask for nothing. They think you don't have anything to eat at home.
Absolutely.
So given that, I did respond. I was quite frustrated and shared with her. And to get the attention of others in the location, I said, do you all hear this individual saying that I stole some tea? It was at that point that a gentleman came from the rear. They had a conversation, decided to call the St. Petersburg Police Department on me for what they alleged, taking a package of tea after having purchased a product. So needless to say, as I've continued this journey, it concerns me that a city St. Pete Clearwater that is really dependent on tourism and guests coming into your area has retail establishments that have some type of individual bias. Earlier, you spoke about a perception and being able to show up as your authentic self.
Absolutely.
And as an African-American man who has navigated the life for AARP eligible years, It was surprising to me for the first time in my life to ever have the police called on me.
Wow. So let's talk about that a little bit, right? So here you are at the ripe age of, is it 51?
I am 54. I'll be 55 in a couple months.
Okay. Yes, so
quite mature.
The ripe age of 54, never had a negative interaction with a police officer, never had a situation where you were accused of taking something without first purchasing it. Coming to our city truly in a place of enjoyment and wanting to celebrate while you were here with your friends. Tell me how you felt really in that moment when, you know, this person says to you, you have stolen a single bag of tea.
Yes, I was quite upset. I'm so glad you're asking that question. First, I'd like to say I've called her Gelato Karen, and I travel often. I'm gone usually 10 days a month on travel. I've lived and worked all over the world. I'm that dude that's class president, most likely to succeed, residence hall counselor, not-for-profit board member, United Way. I'm that guy, right? So I'm going to share with you. You asked me what it was. I was flabbergasted, humiliated, disgusted, embarrassed, angry, frustrated, confused, determined, though disrespected, minimized, shocked, aghast, dismayed, and all of those other high school, college, thesaurus words you want to use to summarize that I was pissed off, if I can say that.
You can. You know, and certainly can imagine what that felt like. And so as we really begin to unpack, and it's interesting because as I was thinking about our conversation today, this morning, I came across an article that's kind of been going across the airwaves. And some oftentimes people will say, well, that's, you know, it's celebrity news. But this particular article, I think that we can title it Systematic Racism. And it's pulling from director Ryan Coogler, who himself was co-writer, author of The Black Panther. He himself was what I often say marginalized and almost arrested for wanting to withdraw funds from his own bank account. So sometimes we have to say, right, so how do we need to show up? How do we need to present ourselves so that we are not marginalized, so that we are not picked out to be chosen, and I say it this way specifically, to be chosen and ostracized in ways that does not in any way, shape, or form identify with or for us, right? How did you need to show up on that day so that that person wouldn't feel that after having purchased a $5 and something cents gelato and leaving a tip, that you would have stolen a single tea bag?
Right. And that is the absolute challenge and frustration that we face. We have learned to, as you said earlier, when we fight, we win. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to be fired up and ready to go. We've been taught to make that, as Michael Jackson said, make that change, be the man in the mirror. We've been taught to be respectful and kind and all the other principles, those of us who have a Christian foundation base. And, you know, we're taught to be the light that's going to shine in darkness. So you can only say that these are opportunities then to educate and inform everyone. You say, why me, Lord? Well, it's because we are hopefully going to be able to have a voice and a presence to be able to show others what is no longer acceptable.
Exactly.
As I have seen that headline and so many other headlines taking place across this country of African-Americans, particularly African-American men, being misrepresented in situations by individuals we've labeled Karens, individuals, whether it be corporate life or leisure life.
Right.
We are finding ourselves consistently being demeaned in some way. It leaves you in shock. And that moment to have a police interaction when you worked your whole life to be an effective, good citizen is quite disturbing. You say it's quite concerning. And we have to work for a change.
I agree. You know, I shared just a little bit about your situation on my Facebook today, and many of the comments were, and just to summarize and generalize, you know, many of them were, we're tired. Some of them were, why is it always this way? Another comment was, being Black in America. You know, you think about the NAACP in particular, and the work and the fight and the advocacy. And I mean, we can go on and on and on of what this organization has fought against. And yet here we sit in 2022 still dealing with these concerns. And, you know, I want to point out, right, because, you know, we know that, you know, they have the hashtag, you know, of Karens, right? But I want to point out that in the instance of, you know, the gentleman, Ryan Kluger, that was not a Caucasian female. That was a Black female that put that stigma on him. And so then we have to kind of dig a little deeper and step a little further. And maybe now we need to begin to have the conversations of, has society programmed us in such a way that when we see people show up dressed a certain way, we automatically feel that they are here to do this negative, that negative, or something else negative?
You know, it's so wonderful that you said that, because as I've reviewed some of those headlines myself, I understand that we are all on a heightened sense of alert in America for so many reasons.
Absolutely.
Right? And when you're being victimized, it's hard for you to be sympathetic to the individuals and places that are victimizing you, right? But that's just, we shouldn't have to be. And that's why organizations like NAACP exist, to continue to be our advocate. I like that you use that word. Mm-hmm. But one thing I neglected to mention, having had seen him not being in a suit, for example, that he was being hailed by police and shot for withdrawing his own money.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the situation, I neglected to mention that at the time I was down there, this 54-year-old was walking around in cornrows in that store location. And of course, during the interaction, I was asking if I just had a fade of some type, would I've had the same interaction? It crosses your mind, because how can you be your authentic self? How can you be the guy that is typically giving out $5 Starbucks gift cards to service workers and others as I travel, and having bought a purchase but still being accused of something? You have to ask yourself, is there a level of systemic racism, or as Eddie Murphy talked about on Saturday Night Live years ago, hidden racism? We're still having these conversations, and we know that it exists.
I agree. You know, because I am a thinker, and I mean a social worker by education, oftentimes I test things, right? And so I show up one way, maybe very casually with some slides on, and I pay attention to how I'm received. But then I show up in my business professional self, and again, I pay attention to how I'm received. And it circles us back to the question, how do we need to show up in order for others to see who we are in our true authentic selves?
And you know, Ms. Matthews, even after spending money, one of the statements I continue to make, I bought a product here. I'm not, quote unquote, a vagrant. I'm not trespassing. I have no reason at all, if you have just been noticing in your store, to have to take anything. I am fully capable
of buying
whatever I want in your store. And in a lot of ways, purchasing and managing your store, if that's what I wanted to do, a franchise of my own. So it is just very true that we have to begin to determine the things that we've been taught about presentation and being your authentic self and being ready and being respectful and kind, but we are still left being really downcast in certain situations by our appearance.
Right. I was doing some thought thinks. That's what I call it, Michael, thought thinks, right? When I'm sitting in my quiet place and just really unpacking how we can help our counterparts, our peers, those that may not share the same color of skin tone as us, how we need them to receive us. And then in that moment, you know, it becomes frustrating and you get very fatigued because, you know, there are many in my current circle that I don't have to have those conversations with because they give their authentic self and I give my authentic self. And I've surpassed calling them a friend. I now call them my brothers and my sisters, whether we share the same skin tone or not. But for some odd reason, we still encounter the challenges and we still encounter these moments. I was talking to one of my long-time Black male friends, and something that he said stood out to me enough for me to jot it down. And what he said was, as a Black man in America, it's already hard enough that we have to fight within ourselves to become a better person. But there are countless forces working outside of ourselves that are also working against us and have been for generations. And that was just so powerful for me.
It really is. When you think about that, you know, we can take it that way. And we talk about spiritual warfare, but we also talk about the actual warfare that's taking place. And there are generations of entrenched thoughts and ideals that exist. And that's why when we talk about diversity and sensitivity training and some of the other elements, we talk about communities. How do you show you're welcoming? We talk about it in our schools and our churches and our jobs and our communities. How do we ensure that visitors and others in our communities feel welcome?
Absolutely.
How do we make sure that everyone feels welcome when they walk into a building, a home, a classroom, an office space, or a retailer in and around an area? How do we make sure that every visitor on the pier area there in St. Petersburg feels welcome?
Absolutely.
And included, and that there's equity?
Yeah, absolutely. And ensuring that we operate from an intentional, a truly intentional platform, a truly intentional welcoming spirit, sometimes and oftentimes even fighting within ourselves to ensure that that person that we're interacting with feels no level of bias, no level of racial tension, you know, just no level of anything.
You know what's so interesting as you're saying that? I'm reflecting again. As that woman was asking me these questions, I actually emptied out all the contents of my pocket. What was wrong with me?
Wow.
Having to prove somebody. You just said making them feel comfortable. I emptied out all the contents. I am a 54-year-old grown man who just purchased a product. I kind of got mad at myself. He talked about the man earlier said he's already trying to work on his own stuff. I emptied the contents of my pocket and threw them on the counter. And, you know, and of course, we're in the new generation. We're carrying our plugs and batteries and everything.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy.
It was not endless. So we have a lot of work to do, each of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
My Sylvia always says, you know, things have happened to her. She was just too through and on the floor. Well, I'm not on the floor, but I was too through. And I'm also too through. And I appreciate that there are organizations that are going to be able to work for me and others to continue to highlight the challenges that we're facing in these communities.
I agree.
The purpose of civil rights engagement has not left.
It's alive and well. Absolutely. It is alive and well. And so, you know, there is one thing that I wanted to make sure that I circled back to, but allowing you the opportunity to really put a voice to it. Right. So for you and in this moment, in this situation, and knowing what happened, how you felt, how it left you feeling, how you felt around your four, you know, or however many counterparts that were with you that day, how you felt standing in downtown St. Pete on Beach Drive with three police officers surrounding you while having to explain that, in fact, you had not stolen a single tea bag. What would make you whole?
Thank you for saying that. The process of making me whole is a process, but initially, at a minimum, I would anticipate that the store that Debbie and Mark Safko, who are the franchise owners of the Paciago Gelato Cafe at 300 Beach Drive, Northeast Number 120, would apologize for their actions or the actions of their staff that was not them.
Mm-hmm.
That they would recognize that their franchise has a responsibility and a role there in downtown St. Petersburg to better represent themselves to visitors. I need to share that the visit to that gelato store was because some of the others in my space had recommended that as a spot they had enjoyed before.
Mm.
So that would be at a minimum a first step in initial action in making myself whole, but also better improving the expectations of others coming into the community. A very, very public apology for the treatment that I received in their store. Because as I shared, I went through the process of looking up every 911 call and police run to that location since January of 2017 and to March 1st of 2022. The only call for any type of theft was on me.
Wow.
For a package of tea after purchasing a product. So there's an issue there, and we need to determine what the issue is, and there needs to be a first step apology. They need to, the Chamber of Commerce, the Tourism Department, the Government Services, the Police Department, they all need to ask themselves what really are going to be our best practices, and how do we need to begin to execute in a way that our tourist industry feels safe and our guests and visitors feel safe and appreciated as they're spending dollars in our community.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that we made mention, and this is something that Michael did share with me, the officers that showed up to that call were respectful, that he did not feel threatened by them at all. And so that is a kudos to our St. Petersburg Police Department under the leadership of Chief Anthony Holloway. And I wanted to make sure that I made mention of that in particular, because we have to, you know, I am convinced and I am sure that when we point out the negative, we need to ensure that we point out the positive as well.
Oh, and Ms. Matthews, thank you for that. Because where respect is earned, you shared it. Also, I need to just one more point. They have been very impactful, respectful, and quick with giving me a number of the information points and investigative points I made to the non-emergency number.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
I've had complete success with that. So thank you for sharing. Yeah, no negative interactions. It's just, we're all shocked to see a police officer in our face.
Right.
But I didn't feel threatened or bullied or anything of that nature.
Awesome. You know, many will say, why did we bring this particular topic to our podcast? But I want to just pause a moment and read what the mission of the NAACP is, right? So the mission of the NAACP is to ensure the political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights of all persons, and also to eliminate racial hatred and racial discrimination. And so we are charged as an organization, as a local branch, to put a voice to many of the things that people will think, oh, well, that's just something that happened. Well, no, this is a very long-lasting thing that this gentleman will carry after he left our city. Now, he will go on to his life up north, but there are many of us that remain in this city, love this city, live, breathe, sleep, and work in this city that deal with these issues day in and day out. So we're charged to bring lights to it. We will bring lights to it. And I ensure and encourage anyone who feels that they are being marginalized, are being discriminated against, are receiving some levels of racial hatred, to reach out to us. We are here for you, and we will stand with you, and we will speak often when you don't have a voice or you feel that your voice will not be heard. Now, before we bring our podcast to a close, I want to circle back. You know, Mr. Michael Smith stated that in order for him to be whole and in order for him to ensure that that feeling that he had when he came into St. Pete remains in St. Pete, he needs these business owners or this business owner to apologize to him. Now, Michael, I'll tell you, I was raised under the umbrella that when you have done somebody wrong,
say it,
you are charged with apologizing. It doesn't take anything from you. It doesn't demean you in any way, shape, or form. It simply means that something was done to hurt somebody that you caused, and that you should circle back and apologize and make that person whole. So I'm going to encourage the owners, and not knowing them at all, but I am going to encourage the owners of, and I may be saying this wrong, but it's Pashago Gelato Cafe, to find a way, and you can reach out to me if you need to get his contact information. Again, my name is Esther Matthews. I can be reached at my number, 727-900-1170, and I will share his number with you. But I encourage you, as we live, eat, breathe, sleep, and work in this city that we love, and I stand firm on the fact that this is the Sunshine City, and I love everyone that walks the roads and the sidewalks in this city, that when we have someone that comes into our home, it's like you invite a visitor into your house and you don't give them a glass of water.
Hospitality.
Or you invite a visitor to a house and you accuse them of taking something when they left, right? And so we have to ensure that when visitors come into our house, that they walk away with the same feeling that they walked in the door with. And so with that, I'm not going to prolong this much further than that. But Michael, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak to us today. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your faith and your willingness to say, I still love St. Pete, honoring Absolutely. The fact that the police officers did not come at you in a threatening fashion. You know, I know you mentioned to me that you had time to break bread and speak to our mayor and deputy mayor, who we love, for the record. I think I need to pause and just say that we love Mayor Welch and we love Deputy Mayor Owens, and we are appreciative of the work that they have done since taking office and will continue to do. But thank you. Thank you, Michael, for your willingness and your strength in continuing to put a voice to this. And I have high hopes that these business owners will, in fact, reach out to you.
Likewise. You know, so again, thank you for giving me some of your time, being so responsive to my interest, and Ms. Matthews, for being an active voice for NAACP and for continuing its mission into these coming generations. The advocacy work that needs to be done has not ended, and I can't see it ending soon. So thank you for opening the door to me, tourists in the area, as well as everyone in your community, to give them a voice and to raise the level of conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Michael. And as we opened up, we close with, when we fight, we win. I am Esther Matthews, the president of the St. Petersburg branch, NAACP. And today's conversation was based on perception based on color, how we show up. And I want to add an additional caveat. How do you want us to show up so that you can see our authentic selves? Thank you for listening in.